In this story, which is part of Jesus' farewell discourse to the disciples, you are, as the storyteller, presenting Jesus, talking to the audience as his disciples gathered around the table. So you want to create that atmosphere of intimacy and to remind the audience of this setting. Jesus is talking to them on the evening prior to the time when he will be arrested and crucified. So they are all aware that this is the last time that Jesus is going to talk to them. The problem that Jesus addresses in this brief part of this much longer speech is that he has many other things to say to them, but they can't take them in now. This is more than they can bear. So Jesus indicates, how is it that I will continue to communicate with you? And the way will be by the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come and will speak whatever he hears, that is, what he hears from Jesus. And Jesus will continue to communicate to them through the Holy Spirit. He will continue to be made known to the disciples in the future. So this is the most explicit statement of ongoing revelation, that more is to be revealed by the Holy Spirit after Jesus is gone. And that is because of the Holy Spirit's identity, that the Spirit will make known whatever he is told from the Father, and he will declare the things that are to come in the future, and he will take what is mine, that is, he will receive from me the words, and he will declare it to you. This story, this part of the discourse, is one of the central sources of a major doctrinal controversy that has divided the church. And that is what is called the Filioque. In the Nicene Creed, in the description of the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. And this was the form of the creed that was originally approved at the Council of Nicaea in 325. Later, in the context of the ongoing controversies with Arian theology, the Western Church began to add that the Holy Spirit proceeded from the Father and the Son. Filioque means "and the Son" in Latin. In the end, the Western Church added the Filioque to the Nicene Creed. And the Eastern Church was so offended by this violation of the rule that had been established by an ecumenical council, that nothing would be added to the Nicene Creed without the approval of a full ecumenical council of the Eastern and the Western Church, that it created a schism, a division between the Roman Catholic and the Eastern Orthodox churches. And in the 11th century, this split became official and has continued to the 21st century. This is, on the one hand, a tragedy for the church, a clear example of the problems created by the development of theology as the central interpretive discipline of Christian thought. On the other hand, the ambiguity is built into John's statement. The clearest of those is in 1526, when the Advocate, that is the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. Now, Jesus says, I will send you the Holy Spirit from the Father. And It is a spirit of truth who comes from the Father. Now, the Eastern Church has understood this to mean that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. But in our story, Jesus says, He will take what is mine and declare it to you, and He will guide you and will speak whatever He hears by implication from me, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. This implies that the Holy Spirit comes from Jesus as well as from the Father. And so these two elements of the farewell address are identified by the Western Church as the sources of this double progression, as it is termed. Now, a performance criticism approach to this problem is that, in effect, Jesus says both in John. So when the Paraclete comes, whom I will send to you, that is the Spirit of truth that comes from the Father, this is both that the Holy Spirit will come from the Father and that it will come from the Father and the Son. If he says both, then it is intentionally ambiguous, and the ambiguity should be maintained. Both doctrinal statements are true because of the nature of the relationship. The Son and the Spirit are intimately related to the Father, are one with the Father, and their relationship is a relationship of mutual identification, mutual spiritual identity, as well as there being distinctive dimensions of the character of God. So it is one of the great ironies of the Christian religion that this statement in John, whose intention was unity and collaboration and the gift of the promise of the Holy Spirit that will continue to reveal things to the church, has become the source of division and schism. So my own opinion is then that this story is one that reflects John's intention to maintain this ambiguity. Now, in our story then, in our part of the address, the Holy Spirit will speak whatever he hears. And where will he hear it? Well, he will hear it from the Father, just as Jesus frequently says that he speaks what he has heard from the Father. So at several points in the Gospel of John, Jesus says that. But then later, Jesus says that the Spirit will take what is mine, in Greek, ek tou emou, he will receive what is out of me and declare it to you. And he will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So this actually describes precisely what has happened. The Holy Spirit has been present with us and has continued to reveal things to us in the course of the history of interpretation of the stories and of the growing realization of the character of God that has continued to be made clear as we have lived through these last 2,000 years. So Jesus' prayer has been answered, and the Holy Spirit has continued to reveal things to us. And the dynamic of this address is a dynamic of hope. Jesus was going away. He was going to die. The promise is that the Holy Spirit will come and be with us and will continue to make known to us the thoughts, the words of Jesus. So, when has that happened? Well, it has happened in many places, in many different ways. And one of the ways that it happens now is in the telling of the stories. So, in doing this very act of telling this story, we are participating in this ongoing action of the Holy Spirit, to make Jesus' words known to us. So that's what you are doing in telling and interpreting this story, is you are the means by which the Holy Spirit is speaking and telling the stories of Jesus. And that will be true for everyone who learns this story, this discourse, and passes it on to others. This is an action of the Holy Spirit present in the very stuff of the learning and interiorization and passing on of these traditions about God.